Oh, it is 45 minutes past four. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation. And thank you to Sifiso. And by the way, those SMSs, keep them coming in. But we will be reading them a little bit later on. The question that we are asking you this morning, though, is that when we think Black Twitter, do you think Twitter, Black Twitter, has a bark and a bite? Or is it all a bark and no bite sort of scenario? But I did promise you that, you know, if you look at Black Twitter in South Africa, you've seen how individuals and companies have been dragged over the coals, sometimes justified, like your KPMG and Bell Pottinger, and sometimes not justified, because Twitter can be gullible. In the case of My Way Insurance, I mean, people are already calling for the boycott of My Way Insurance. But guess what? Ribone Masemola, a freelance cultural strategic planner, a curator of Black feminists, and social media content and trend analyst, is joining you this morning in conversation to chat just exactly about the powers or lack thereof of Black Twitter. Also, keep in mind, though, that she has graduated from Wits University with a Master of Arts in Anthropology. Ribone, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Good morning. Ribone, I'll tell you what, before we start, ne, not because I don't know, I know exactly what it is, ne, but Leslie sitting next to me doesn't know what anthropology is. So, Leslie, stop laughing. Stop laughing. It's okay. If you don't know something, just ask.
You want to know what it is.
Yeah. So Leslie, she wants to know what anthropology is. You've got masters in anthropology. So, what is it?
So anthropology is a discipline of the social sciences, but it specifically focuses on culture and people, but within context. Anthropology looks at like spaces. You can't like study anthropology outside of a context, specific context like South Africa or whatever the case is. If you're looking at South African culture, then that's anthropology within the context of South Africa.
Ah, okay. Leslie's nodding. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for asking that question. Ribone, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation this morning. I've been following Black Twitter now for quite a number of years, and I've been looking at how, you know, we tackled things. And I saw your piece and I thought, you know, you'd be the lovely option for us to chat to in this. And the first question I have to ask you, Leslie, is that, is there actually such a thing called Black Twitter? And how does one identified?
Yes, definitely. A few years ago when I wrote that, it was just like a thing, right? And some people were speaking about it as a movement, or people thought it was a hashtag or whatever the case was. And at the time, it had already kind of like been fully established in the USA within kind of like the African American community. But for now in South Africa, Black Twitter has become sort of a platform on its own as well. Like, it's become quite mainstream. So it's just kind of like it's on Twitter, obviously, because it's called Black Twitter, but anyway. So it's kind of like a platform for Black people, but not just any Black person, right? It's a collective consciousness for specific kind of Black people who think about or are informed on culture, informed on language, you know, informed on kind of like history and, you know, pop culture and everyday news or whatever the case is. But you need to have a consciousness as a person who's a part of Black Twitter. You need to think differently about things. It's quite a little bit elitist, to be honest, right? The idea is that the people themselves are quite a community of people who have shared interests. And, you know, in this country, obviously, we've seen that we tend to kind of like hold people to account, depending on how you look at that. And they always have an opinion on everything, right? They live in opinions on other Black people, right? There's no way to like fully define what Black Twitter is, because it's such a vast thing, or a network of connected things.
So, Ribone,
just kind of like do amazing things. Yes,
you mentioned though in your article that this thing exists in a country with an apartheid backdrop, where most people react to debates about race as though they are profanity. Thus, people fear being politically incorrect and ruffing up feathers. So, the question that comes with that, Ribone, is that what is the role played by Black Twitter then at the backdrop of that explanation? What is the reason for its existence? Is it a safe space for sharing, or a platform to take on individuals and organizations, or is it just all of the above and more?
It's all of the above and more. That's the thing, right? It does so many things. There's no one way to pinpoint kind of like the sole purpose of Black Twitter. But for us in this country, what I love about the platform is that, yes, it does exactly that. It provokes conversations that most people are more inclined not to have, or a lot of people are likely to have in private spaces. And in this case, you have it in a very public, private forum where anyone really can just kind of like either engage in those conversations or not. And a lot of cases you find trolls in this case when people start having conversations about race and, you know, our sexuality and all the things that make other people uncomfortable. You always have those people who are like trolling and saying whatever it is that they want to say that it has nothing to do with or to try to kind of like make people uncomfortable or this or that. But my thing is, I love Black Twitter because you're able to have those conversations, right? And even the media, right? The media is now kind of like following Black Twitter to try and find out what's the most trending news, what can they put on their front page and all that stuff. It's been great. So for now, I really think that Black Twitter, you know, it's doing what a lot of organizations in this country and mainstream media isn't actually doing.
Ramona, I promise you, we're going to finish off with this question, if Twitter has a bark or no bite and all, looking at what we've done. Yes. But I want to bite into it bits by bits because I want to understand this Black Twitter. Because I also agree with your sentiments here. I've just lost that very quickly. But you also talk about the fact that in Black Twitter, there is a certain level of blackness that you must be.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it's for some elite sort of group, and if you are coming out of that group, they will take you apart.
So, like I said earlier, right, it's a collective, right, it's a community, but then by virtue of being black, it doesn't make you part of Black Twitter, because there are nuances, or there's a knowledge kind of like pool, or you should know certain things that would kind of like give you access to Black Twitter. It's very elitist, right? Not everyone knows about, you know, culture. Not everyone understands politics. Not everyone understands all the things that, you know, Black Twitter speaks about. But in recent years, what I've seen as well is that they do a whole TV commentary thing, which I guess a lot of people kind of can speak to. But it's very elitist. Not being a black person doesn't make you part of Black Twitter. That's not how you get into it. And sometimes, yes, there are certain people, they do it less now. They used to do it a lot a few years ago, where there was kind of like a monolithic way of being black. And they had a kind of like a template, a blueprint of being black. You need to kind of like know this, you need to have experienced this, you need to sound this way. And then if you did not live up to that blueprint, right, then they kind of like, they will be on you like a vulture. And if you say certain things, if you, I don't know, I guess you sound a little bit white or you act a little bit white, then they will be on you because then your blackness is in question.
So that's when you just go, yeah, nah.
Guys, then you just say no guys. Way, you just like move on.
54 minutes.
It's like, cruel.
54 minutes past four. Good morning to you. We're speaking to Ramona Masemola, freelance cultural strategic planner, media content and trends analyst, joining us to talk to us about Black Twitter. An SMS coming from Unatu saying, for me, Black Twitter is basically a Twitter lynch mob. They never think before reacting, and they think their opinions are facts. That's from Unatu. You gotta admit though, there is some fact to that. But there's some fact to that. Think of Ramona, think of My Way. Even before My Way had a chance to respond and say, guys, this is not us, there was already a calling to boycott My Way.
Yep. See, but like leading up to that, right, I've always trusted Twitter, I guess, in that sense, because a lot of people rely on Twitter for news, right? How many people, like young people, don't actually watch the news anymore? So you just go on Twitter and you see what's trending. And usually with people on Twitter, they're usually very good at verifying information, kind of like before they go on a lynching spree. The My Way thing was very interesting to me because I was just like, okay. But I guess, and as well, people are very emotional. And it's the whole race thing again, when people start talking about race and kind of like black people and all that stuff, and people get really emotional. They did not verify anything. Yeah. They just, okay, great, My Way, black, race, and then they just went lynching. Usually they're very good at verifying.
I'll tell you what, everyone, as I'm running out of time, but this is what I wanted to ask you on that note, in that we get very emotional. So the question is then, is Black Twitter all buck and no bite? You know, they seem to make all these threats and promises when the story is hot, and then we move on to the next even before the dust settles.
So, in a way, depending on which way you look at it, there were some cases where Black Twitter actually kind of, you know, was back and all bite, because then they created movements, like even the Amanda Trash, right? It took, like, manifested in the physical world, which means that they kind of, like, started a trend. They spoke about something, and then everyone else in the world actually did something about it. You know, they make people think about things that nobody wants to think about. But then, yes, they're in certain situations where they're just, like, you know, they just say things, and then they don't actually mean anything, or they never actually materialize into anything. Because my thing as well was, we can't think about Black Twitter outside of the context of kind of like the social media culture, where everyone loses interest very quickly, right? The length of something being newsworthy is very short. People have very kind of like short lifespan in terms of, you know, how they think about things or what they're interested in, whatever the case is. So the same thing applies on Black Twitter, right? So we are very interested in things for a very short space of time, until something else comes up, and then, you know, we move on, we forget, and we're no longer interested. So right. I think Black Twitter, yes, kind of like it functions within that context. We should not forget that.
Oh, time is always the enemy. Ribone Masemola, thank you so much for joining us on the line. I'm sure we're going to be chatting soon. With Black Twitter on the rise like this, we'll be chatting soon. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you so much. Ribone Masemola, freelance cultural strategic planner, media content and trends analyst.